This is your Frederick Real Estate Update, a conversation about the regional real estate market with tips for buyers and sellers. Your hosts, RE/MAX Results Darren Ahern and Presidential Bank Mortgages Terry Kernan.
Hey everyone, welcome to your Frederick Real Estate Update. Hi, I'm Darren Ahern with RE/MAX Results on this beautiful, happy Easter. Welcome to everybody. And I also have with me the man from the Presidential Bank Mortgage with all the money over there to lend out to everyone, Mr.
Terry Kernan.
How you doing?
Couldn't be better.
Yeah.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely amazing.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful weekend. And so we just want to say happy Easter to everybody. I hope you
are
enjoying it.
Easter.
So it's always a good time of the year. And this is the time of year we see all the flowers come out and the snow go away and all that good stuff. So I'm getting prepared for summertime, which we've been waiting on. But this is the time of the year. The weather's wacky, though, Terry, when we don't know if we're going to get another snowflake before long or not. But we'll see. So, all right, let's get right into it, Terry. I want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you guys for liking and sharing. Make sure you do the thumbs up and subscribe each time we're on live. And Terry and I are open to your questions and all the ideas. And that's how we get a lot of our content and things like that. And with the latest news and what's going on. So, Terry, one of the things we're going to do, our spring giveaway, just to say thank you to all of our listeners and everyone out there. We're going to give away a $100 gift card to either Lowe's or Home Depot today, if somebody can get this right. The trivia question is, how many homes are for sale in Frederick County right now? As of today, this morning, not even an hour ago.
So do you have to get an exact amount to
win?
Yeah,
it's got to be exact to get a $100 gift card today. We're going to give three people a chance. You got to call in 301-694-9363. So make sure you call into our producer right now, 301-694-9363, and we're going to get you on live, and you can tell us how many homes are for sale right now in Frederick County. So while we're waiting on that, Terry, let's get right on into it. What's going on in the mortgage world and the money side of things?
We're heading into April, so it was kind of an up and down. The last week in the mortgage business or in the mortgage world has been very, very, very dull, okay, which is good. I've always said, hey, just give me stability. So we've seen the stability, and what everybody's anticipating is the rate cuts. So the markets closed Thursday afternoon, and they were closed all day Friday, So it was a very light week. But what they did was they released the PCE. They released the PCE on Friday morning. And so the markets weren't open to react. So this weekend is a digestive weekend of what happened. But here's the good news. What they anticipated happened. Okay. So basically the PCE is something that the Feds really, really, really look at. But it's not a very glamorous, popular index like the consumer price index, the CPI and the PPI that I always talk about. So the PCE is, let me take a look at, PCE basically is the personal consumption expenditures.
Okay.
So it's not a real, like I said, not a real glamorous, but what it basically does is it's a United States. We use it here in the United States. It's not a worldwide thing. Other countries really don't use it, but it's the average increase in prices for all domestic personal consumption. Okay. So basically they're expecting it to be a 0.3 rise, and it was a 0.3 rise. Great news. They strip out energy and food prices, because those are the most volatile. And they look at the core. The good news is the core was 0.3. So those numbers came down from last month. They were 0.4, and then the core was 0.5. So those are good numbers. And so we're going to see, I believe that we're going to see a pretty decent numbers next week with the jobs. So we'll see how it goes. But next week's going to be the jobs. But the PCE was the big thing that everybody was waiting on. And the good news is the markets weren't open, so they can digest what's going on.
All righty. What else with rates, in retrospect to rates? It seems like how this all affects things, and it sounds like we're not going to see the Fed maybe change that coming up here soon, anytime soon, maybe this year or whatever. So what's your thoughts on that? What are you seeing in that world?
So when the Feds met last week, they talked about up to 3 rate cuts this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's going to happen, okay? We don't want to get into the cutting rates too fast because it has the same effect as when you raise rates too fast.
Right.
You need things to catch up. You need to take a look at how things are being affected. My feeling is that there will probably be 1 cut this year. Possibly 2. The 2 weeks ago, I said that it would probably be no cuts, which I wouldn't be surprised. So the Fed doesn't want to jump too fast. You know, when you make a cut or when you make when you increase rates or cut rates, you got to let it set in. You got to let it settle in. You got to let it play out.
Yep.
Okay. So the feel is in my book that they might have 1 cut. Possibly in June, but I don't think so. They'll probably do it in the July or August, whenever they meet then. But rates have been steady, which is good. They've kind of inched down a little bit below 7%, which is good. So they're moving in the right direction. And right now things are very stable, which is good. We're not seeing, we've seen a slowdown in applications, but we also are seeing an increase in this, where it gets scary, and I've talked about this before.
Okay.
We're also seeing an increase in applications for refinances.
I was going to ask you about that.
Cash out refinances.
Cash out. Is that to pay off?
Out.
Is this mostly for people that are getting maxed out on credit cards, still living the same life?
Yes.
And they're just saying, hey, I have so much equity in my home. Let me do a cash out refinance, whatever, and pay off debt. Or is this people that are like, no, I want to like do something with my house and make upgrades or do whatever? What's the reason behind we're starting to see a more increase in refinance cash out?
Debt consolidation, which is very disheartening to me that somebody's given up, you know, a 3% rate to go into a 7% rate.
Wow. Not and, doing home line of credit, HELOC loans to be able to do that, or?
Well, our bank this month, March, closed out yesterday. We closed over $4 million in HELOCs.
Wow.
So that's a big month for a small bank.
Yeah, okay? And that's been a while since you've seen those numbers.
And the HELOCs are, you know, $50,000, $75,000. So people are taking out HELOCs to pay off debt.
Okay.
The people that we're seeing as the cash out refinances already have a HELOC.
Okay.
And they're kind of, they're trying to stay ahead of the, it's like the old cartoon, George Jetson, where he was on the treadmill and he was trying to keep up and finally he couldn't do it any longer. That's what we're seeing with the debt consolidation.
All right. Phone lines are open, 301-694-9363. You guys, we're giving away a $100 gift card to Home Depot or Lowe's. All you have to do is tell us how many homes are for sale right now in Frederick County. You got to get it right on the button. That's why it's a $100 gift card. We're going to eventually get this. If you've been listening to our past programs, you're going to probably get pretty close, I imagine. So I'll give you a hint. I'm going to give one hint. It's under 300. We went back under 300. How's that? So, all right, Terry, let's get into real fast. Also, while we're dealing with your stuff, comes up something we haven't seen in a little while is people buying down loans and the origination fees. And I know discount points, a lot of people, you know, may know what that is. Some don't know what it is. We're starting to see this has been something that's been more I've seen, you know, where you're charging a point and such like that to buy down the loan or to pay for things on the mortgage side of things. How does that really work? What does that all kind of go to? How does that help the buyer as far as rates and all those things like that?
So let's talk about an example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So just to make it very easy is we're going to use a $400,000 loan.
Okay.
So somebody comes in and they get a contract and it's time to lock in and they say, I would like to buy my rate down. Now, I discourage it because I'm going to show you why. Rates will be coming down in the next 24 months. We know that. Unless something crazy happens,
okay,
rates will be coming down. So you will have an opportunity to refinance in the next 24 months. So if you come in and you say, hey, I want to buy down my rate. And I'm going to say, well, let's talk about the actual numbers that it costs to buy down the rate. So let's say rates are at 7% with no points.
Okay.
if we look at an average loan of $400,000, okay, and we're not talking tax, we're not talking insurance, we're talking about two things, principal and interest. At 7%, that number is going to be $2,528.
Okay.
Okay. That $2,528 is basically what we're taking a look at with paying no points.
Okay.
So somebody says, I really want my rate, I really want my principal and interest to be somewhere around $2,400.
Okay.
That's our budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, okay, let's take a look at what's going to get you to $2,400. We're going to have to buy your rate down to 6.5%.
Okay.
And that's going to cost you anywhere from 1.5 to 2 points. Okay.
So if somebody is paying 1 point or 1.5 point, that doesn't mean it lowers your rate by that same amount. Is that correct?
That is 100%
correct. And that's what we've been seeing a lot of people thinking is, oh, I can just pay 1 point and go from 7% to a 6% rate. And I'm like, nope, that's not how this works. Talk to Terry, but keep going.
So 1 point is 1% mm-hmm. of the loan amount, not the sales price.
Right.
This is all about the loan. This is all about the two things that you pay, principal and interest.
Okay.
So if I want $2,400 to fit my budget, I'm going to have to pay probably, let's say, $8,000 to get it paid down.
Okay. So if I pay $8,000 up front, like it's settlement, right?
Yep.
That's going to bring my rate from 7% to 6.5%.
Correct.
And how much is the payment now and how much am I saving a month?
So the payment now is $2,528.
Okay.
You wanted $2,400. I got you to $2,401.86. So $2,402, let's say.
Okay.
So it's basically $126 a month that you're going to save, but it's going to cost you $8,000.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa. $8,000. $8,000. To save $126 a month. So how long do I have to keep that mortgage before it benefits me? And I'm not doing any refinances or nothing else in between.
Over 5 years.
Wow.
So if we take $8,000 and mm-hmm. we divide into it your savings of $126 a month, you're looking at 63.5 months, 63 and a half months. That's your break even. So somebody says, well, all right, I'll only want to pay $4,000.
Okay.
Yep. Let's pay $4,000. Let's buy it down to 6.75. What you're doing is you're splitting the difference.
I see.
So it's still, so let's take $4,000, okay? And instead of saving $126, you're going to save $63.
Wow, okay.
So guess what number comes up?
Mm-hmm.
Divided by 63 savings.
Huh,
63. The same exact number.
So the only way it's beneficial to a buyer to pay the money in points, discount points, to buy your rate down is if you and I and everybody else in the whole world knew it's a guarantee rates are not going to come down enough for you to refinance until after 64 months.
Correct. So what I tell people is let's stick with 7%.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep that $8,000 in your bank.
Yep.
Let's keep that $8,000 as a fund that if you get out of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
you can add a couple $100 out of it each month to help keep you within your budget.
Right.
Okay. And if you don't do that, what's going to happen is let's say 24 months from now, rates drop to 5.5%.
Okay.
Which is very likely.
Okay.
Rates drop to 5.5%. We're going to refinance you. So can I get some of my $8,000 back if I buy the rate down? Absolutely not.
No, it's gone. That once money, you do it, that's it.
Card laid's a card played.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yep.
So I hope this explains why you shouldn't be paying points in this rate environment. What if rates go up, people say?
Yeah.
Well, rates are at the highest they've been in 27 years.
Okay.
So, let's talk about what rates are going to go down to. Prior to 2009, prior to the crash in the real estate market, rates were never below 5%.
That's true.
So we've only seen below 5%. So if we return to normalcy, 5.5% will probably be a good rate going into the future. Now, if there's something that, another pandemic, you know, God forbid, 9/11 rates went down, war rates go down, like things like that, which we cannot predict and we don't want.
Right.
That's when rates will possibly go below 5%. But right now, please don't pay points. And if you want me to re-explain it to you after you've written the contract, I will do that. But it just doesn't make sense to do.
Yep. That's why you weigh all your options. All right. Second big question someone asked is, what is the difference of getting a loan? Is there different with requirements, the process, and what's required, credit scores, all of it, between a W-2 employee versus being self-employed?
Big, big difference. Okay. So what you basically just said is W-2. Okay. If you were W-2'd employee, then basically that's all we need. We don't care about your tax returns. We don't care about anything except what you make on a yearly basis. We divide that by 12, and that's basically your monthly income. So we take a look at the W-2. It's very simple. It's very cut and dry. There's no guesswork on how much you make. If you get bonuses, we average them. If you get overtime, we average it. You know, we look at all that. Very easy to figure out income. Self-employed?
Yeah, like us. Yeah, we're fine.
Self-employed. Big, big difference. So self-employed, basically, I've talked about this in the past. You have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay.
Those are the brother and sister that kind of run the mortgage industry. They are quasi-government agencies, and they basically come out with their guidelines, which are very, very similar. One of the biggest differences in between Fannie and Freddie is Freddie says that if you have been self-employed for 5 years, we only need to see 1 year of tax returns.
Which year is that out of the last five?
Whichever you made the most. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, the last, do you get to pick?
The last year.
Okay.
So if you're applying for a loan right now and you're self-employed, I'm going to look at 2022's taxes.
Okay.
Because that's the last year that you filed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you filed early and they've already accepted it, then I'm going to take a look at your 2023s, and that will be the income that we're going to use.
Okay.
So somebody says, well, I made a lot more money in 2023 than I did in 2022.
Okay.
I say, well, then get your taxes together and get them filed. Okay.
What if it's the opposite? What if it's I made more money in 2022, but 2023 hasn't been as good?
We're going to look at 2022.
Okay.
We're going to look at the last year that you filed.
Okay. So if somebody filed by April 15th or right after, self-employed, you have to take that last tax filing year, no matter what.
So if somebody made less money in 2023 and they don't file the taxes, we can't take a look at that. Now, what we do require is a profit and loss statement from the year-to-date profit and loss statement.
Okay.
So we'll take a look at the 2023 profit and loss statement, but we can't average. We can just kind of take a look and say, okay, they're right around the same or they're a little bit less. If it's less, we're going to ask, you know, what happened? And somebody might say, well, I lost a contract last March, and I got a new contract in January or April, whatever. You know, I lost something, or this is the reason why my numbers are down a little bit. But really, we're going to take a look at what you have filed on taxes. So if you give us a profit and loss statement, you can generate it yourself. And we're not going to be able to use that as income. So no matter what numbers are on that. Now, if you get an audited, which could cost $5,000 to get an audited profit and loss statement, then we can use that income.
Okay. All right.
So that's the biggest difference. It is much, it is tougher to get a self-employed loan because so many people out there, and I'll give an example of an Uber driver.
What about an Uber driver?
So self-employed, 1099, came in, and I said, so how much do you make? He says, I make 10 grand a month. I said, wow, that's great.
Well, he goes, I'm gonna be an Uber driver.
Yeah. He says, I drive all the time, and blah, blah, blah. So I look at his tax returns, and he wrote off over half of that 10 grand a month.
Whoa.
So he was actually making about 4,800 a month, which he wasn't able to qualify based on those numbers. Now, we can add things back like depreciation of the car and all that. But the bottom line is it's not your gross sales. It is your net income that we look at self-employed.
Yep.
Switch over to a W-2 employee.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your net income. It is your gross income that we look at.
All right.
So if somebody works for the government and they make $120,000, they're going to get credit for $10,000 a month.
All right.
Does that
good
help?
Stuff. Yeah. So be careful. I think the most smartest thing, Terry, obviously, is anyone that's self-employed or not. Always talk to you guys. You're the professionals to basically know how to navigate through getting a loan, whether you're self-employed or W-2 and all that good stuff. So, all right, last call, 301-694-9363. We're giving away a $100 gift card to Lowe's or Home Depot to say happy spring. Thanks for tuning in and listening. What is the amount of inventory? How many homes are for sale in Frederick County right now today? You got to get that number right, 301-694-9363. Last call for that. So, all right, Terry, I'm going to continue on and finish up a little bit with this whole craziness. The sky is falling. The world's changing. Real estate's just been invaded by the DOJ and other groups and the attorneys and everybody. They're after us with a class action lawsuit all about commissions and antitrust and all the craziness. I'm sure everybody's heard it in the news and everything, and we've had to digest it and learn all the ins and outs and details of what has happened and all that. And as anyone knows, you know, to say, what'd you guys do wrong? There's a lot of us still saying, we've been told we've been, for 100 years, been charging too much fees and problems, you know, charging too much in commissions, and how dare you, and, you know, getting 2.5% or 3% and 6% and all this other stuff like that, and then having not the right forms or right verbiage or things that the consumer can understand with co-opting and commissions and buyer agency agreements and all this kind of stuff like that. And so after I've looked at quite a bit of it, by the way, I didn't read every single page, but the most important things in the whole thing, in NAR, our National Association of Realtors, the $418 million out of court is kind of what the DOJ, they came to an agreement on, because it would have went into $1 billion and it would just been crazier, because that's how the law stuff crazy works. So the DOJ's entities got involved in our industry claiming that forever we've been taking advantage and paying too much. The sole 6% thing, which was stated by them publicly, we could take, you know, that's just fact what they said, and share with buyer agents. And the argument is that consumers were not aware of all these practices, whereas it's never been illegal, because the whole thing with collusion and price fixing and all these things being accused of. Terry, one of the big things that stands out in my head is the fact that commissions have always been negotiable. When they said 6%, that is not correct. It's never been a fixed thing.
Correct.
It's never been fixed.
It's always been negotiated.
It has been. So, all right, before we continue on, Fred is on the line. We want to hear from Fred. Hey, Fred, how are you, sir?
Doing well.
Awesome.
Doing
thanks.
Well.
Thanks so much for tuning in. All right. We want to know the big number to win that $100 gift card today. How many homes are for sale right now in Frederick County?
231.
231. A little bit too low, but thank you so much for tuning in on there. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Keep listening in. All right. Check this out. So, Terry, number one, it's a lie that came out of everywhere about we've been charging 6%. It may be the case. Some places, 5%, 4%. My timeshare, I sell 10% commission, okay? The thing is, it's all negotiable. There is no set thing within that figure, and it never has been. So many areas do have kind of a norm, right? I mean, there's like a norm, like what's the average standard amount of compensation it takes for me to pay to have a professional to market, advertise my home, represent me, do all the disclosures, try to keep me out of all the legal crazy stuff and keep me in a safe harbor and get me the terms and conditions and the highest price and everything that I want. That's been our whole goal. That's what we've done for now well over 100 years with National Association of Realtors. And we are, what most of the public needs to know is we've been bound to the ethics. Not everyone that's licensed, because not everybody that practices real estate is a licensee, it calls, okay, as a salesperson licensee, or an associate broker or a broker that owns and runs a franchised, you know, operation like ours, Remax, Century 21, Keller Williams, or whomever. So that whole thing like that, it's always been negotiable. So whatever that amount is, we call it whatever XYZ and all that kind of stuff like that. The practice that's happened forever and ever for 98% of the time, really, Terry, and even for sale by owners, which is fine, is to do this thing called co-opting. So when we get a 5, 6, 7%, whatever commission amount that's negotiated, 98% of the time or more, us as agents don't get all of that. We actually are offering a portion of that, normally about half, make it fair. We like to play in a fair sandbox. We usually offer half of that, and it's broker to broker. By the way, commissions are negotiable, and it is always broker to broker. So it's Remax, my company that I work with, in self-employed within them, and have that umbrella. We collect a fee that we basically say whatever amount that is, we're going to give half of that towards another broker that brings a buyer that's wanting to purchase the home. That is designed for the seller, and the sellers realize this as the most benefit for them to get the most offers, to get the most buyers, to get the highest price. It is a good thing. It is the, and so here's the thing people don't understand. Now we've had these pundits in officials and, you know, government and this and that and everybody else saying, well, you don't have to pay 6% or whatever number anymore. What do you want us to work for free? I don't see anybody of them working for free.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but everything you're saying is spot on. But I want to mention one thing. I had a long conversation with a realtor yesterday.
Okay.
She called to, we had a mutual client that this couple was looking. They wrote 7 contracts on houses anywhere from $5,000 to $800,000. They got none of the contracts, and she put in a tremendous amount of work and did not get paid a dime. Entered 7 contracts, and the people decided, you know what, we're frustrated, we're not going to write. For every contract you sell, you've got at least 2 or 3 people like that.
Right.
If you're a full-time realtor, there you have probably more people that have stopped looking, or you get paid nothing for submitting offers and doing all that. You only get paid when it closes.
Exactly.
Just a reminder to everybody, this is 100% commission income.
Oh, yeah, that's saying hourly. There's, Terry, in my 20 years, I can't tell you how many times I've showed buyers properties or trying to sell a home, and I put out thousands of dollars in 40, 50, 60 hours, and you get nothing. You get nothing. How many people do you know are going to show up to work where you get no benefits, no guarantee, no none of this stuff? And so we have about 1 minute or less on this on this side of it right now to explain this. Terry, one of the big things I want to say is this within all this. Everybody says, well, what's going to change? Nothing. Nothing's going to change. It's still the discretion. Nobody can dictate this because it's still the discretion of us as agents to be able to negotiate a fee for professional services with a seller and a buyer. The big thing now is buyers better have agents to represent buyers. If buyers want representation, they now have to have a buyer broker agreement in place, which we always have had, us at Remax, myself. Never have I written an offer without a buyer broker agreement in place that basically says you're agreeing to pay me if in fact the seller doesn't, to be able to pay me. So next week we're going to pick this back up. We want to hear from you guys of what your thoughts are on it. Terry, I hope everybody has a great weekend, Easter time, and our prayers and thoughts are out to those all involved in the whole bridge collapse and all that happened there. And guys, take care from your Frederick Real Estate Update.
It's Meg Galler with Community Title Network. Experience close to home. Community Title Network is the most trusted title and settlement partner for real estate professionals, buyers, and sellers. Our team is comprised of the most skilled and experienced underwriters in our region to ensure your rights are secured as an owner or as a lender. We combine that with our skilled and experienced attorneys, settlement agents, and processing staff who ensure a smooth closing experience. Our Frederick office is conveniently located along Carroll Creek in downtown Frederick. For your next settlement, give Community Title Network a call. We're at 301-304-6620. At Community Title Network, we challenge the norm. Where good is the benchmark for many, we aim for greatness.
Hello, this is Terry Kernan with Presidential Bank Mortgage in downtown Frederick. And the best way to reach me always is on my cell phone at 301-639-9244. 301-639-9244. Or you can always email me at tkernan@presidential.com.
And this is Darren Ahern from RE/MAX Results. You can reach me anytime, 240-344-1713. Again, it's 240-344-1713 or at darrenahern@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to your Frederick Real Estate Update. We will see you each and every Saturday right here on WFMD at 11 o'clock.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.